and welcome to the All Japan Women's Destiny podcast. I'm your host, JD. Welcome to another episode as we go through the history of All Japan Women's Professional Wrestling through the classics episodes that you can find on various places of the internet. I vastly encourage to follow along and learn and enjoy the history of this just awesome women's wrestling promotion of the past. This is a spin-off in conjunction with the Red Leaf Retrocast. That is the proper episode where these come from. We hope you enjoy our audio and our discussions over the various wrestlers and the matches in which you go through the ages. If you like what you hear and you want more content, please consider checking out the Patreon. That is patreon.com/redleafretrocast, all one word, where we also cover LLPW, various other women's wrestling promotions of the past, and the project that the whole reason it exists is the Joshi 2010s journey, where we go through coming out of the dark ages of Joshi professional wrestling and really learning and having fun with wrestlers that we're very familiar with to this day to ones that we may have missed out on. I hope you enjoy the audio you're about to hear covering AJW. And if you want more, please, again, consider signing up to the Patreon and leaving us reviews over at iTunes, Spotify, and the like, all your favorite podcasting outlets in which you listen to AJW and the Red Leaf Retrocast. Enjoy. Well, how about that? It is All Japan Women Destiny. We're doing the classics. We're on episode 105. We're from Chiba, Japan, February 3rd, 1995. And we're on the road to, I believe, yes, Yokohama. And I will get to the Observer from February that's covering all this, and time will tell what exactly is going to happen with AJW in 1995, but we have the start of Gaia happening within a couple months' time. And if you want more Gaia coverage, you're gonna get quite a bit of that on the LLPW journey, which is also on the Patreon, patreon.com/redleafretrocast, LLPW and Gaia, because Chigusa Nagayo is starting her promotion. And now we have the return to wrestling of Lioness Asuka and Jaguar Yokota, both in tandem, and Bison Kimura. And more on that on this show, because we know eventually JD Star starts. So we're getting a lot of microcosm promotions starting up based on a lot of these former retired wrestlers and stars. Even Devil Masami's over there helping out JWP. It's a lot of ex-AJW wrestlers. So we left off in January, coming off the heat of the Big Egg and Tag League and the like. The result of Tag League was very bizarre, where Double NOA relinquishes the tag titles so they can be number 100 champions, which makes no sense, and now we are left without the tag titles for the next, like, 3 months. It's very strange. I don't get it. Wacky booking, if I do say so myself. I don't know if that's the wrestler's idea, the Matsunaga's idea. Who knows? But what's happening in and around AJW is they have cut ties with LLPW because of the Hokuto Kandori incident at Big Egg. They cut ties with FMW because Onita is a carny asshole who doesn't want his shitty wrestlers to lose. Except Megumi Kudo, she rocked. So they're done with them. And JWP comes in and out. It's mostly their young people that gets on cards every now and again. And a good bargaining chip for All Japan Women at this point in time is the upcoming rookies that they have all debuted. Whether that's the young Ri Tamada, you got Kumiko Maekawa, who's making moves, particularly Yuka Shina and Mariko Yoshida, not Mariko Yoshida, well, she might as well be booked as a rookie again. I meant to say Yoshiko Tamura, along with, I believe, Danai Takahashi got injured already, but she hasn't been on the last couple shows. The point is, a lot of rookies have debuted, and they're filling out the rest of the card nicely, but they got to get reps in. And when we watch this February 3rd show from Chiba, Capacity 2000, according to a couple other sources, so I believe this checked out. The crowd was very full for it. But what we lack here is now a kind of hot fire and pace to a lot of these matches, and the skill level has dropped. So we now have like 6 to 8 matches on these cards sometimes, as opposed to the 4 where matches are going 20, 30 minutes long. Okay? So that's where we're at there. We head on over to the, particularly I want to do this one as I read through January and February, but the February 20th Observer from 95 was very interesting in the fact that WCW has announced a partnership with All Japan Women in which Akira Hokuto and Bull Nakano will be involved. So that was interesting. And then, along with some various house show results, we had, here we go. And I will read this. This is now in the news at the end of February. All Japan Women will go with Aja Kong defending the 3WA title against Manami Toyota as the main event of Yokohama Arena on March 26th. So this is their annual big Yokohama show at this point in time. They are also negotiating to bring in Kim Gracie, the wife and business manager of Rickson Gracie, for an exhibition match on that show. There will also be Yoshida and Tamada. They won. No, on the February 15th show, Tamada and Yoshida will face Watanabe and Meikawa, and the winners of that will face the LOPW champions of the Japanese tag titles, and that's Carol Midori and Michiko Omakai. So LOPW get involved here just to get the titles off them. I did cover that on LOPW. Bison Kimura, Linus Asuka, and Jaguar Yokota will be in a trios match on February 26th, Corkin Hall. Elimination match, Kong and Yamada and Kyoko Inoue and Yoshida versus Hota, Toyota, Takako, and Hasegawa, with the final four remaining going to a special Tokyo Dome April 2nd show. I believe that's the Gong Tokyo Dome show, in which all of the Joshi companies and FMW and the like are going to be involved. The AJW match is going to be the best match on the show, I believe, if memory serves. Plus, Yokota and Asuka and Kimura versus Mita Shimoda and Suzuki Minami. So the group is still together there. Hokuto's former crew. They've announced 5 of the 8 teams for the 3WA 100th Tag Team Tournament, which takes place on March 21st at Osaka Castle Hall. So, yes, they're going Osaka Castle Hall end of March. Then a week later, they're doing Yokohama Arena with the Kong Toyota match. Okay. And then they're also prepping for their involvement in this Tokyo Dome show. Good God, the schedule. Whew. So there we go. Busy stuff from AJW. So let's get into the show here. I thought this show was very much kind of along the lines of house show-esque. Actually, let me look ahead to the classics, because, yes, 106 is February 15th. 107 is a dual show of March 21st, and it skips the Yokohama show with Kong and Toyota. So, looking towards the future, Classics 108 will be the Yokohama show. You damn right I'm not missing Aja Kong, my Manami Toyota 3WA title. That's not happening. So we got our next three episodes all panned out here. So that's going to be exciting. As for the show itself, I said, I mentioned this already, the pace wasn't quite there. It's a lot of rookies getting reps in. Yes, you do still get some great interactions every now and again. It kind of reminded me of a Stardom house show at the same time, with a big like team main event, mostly filled with good workers. And then the rest of the card mostly has good partner, bad partner, like the semi-main event of Kong and Ito against Mikawa and Toyota. That reminds me straight up of like a QQ stars match in which you got a rookie and a vet teaming with each other, right? Except this is the semi-main in this case. And then you had veterans going up against young people up and down the card. Well, not up and down, just down. So here we go. Nice and quick today. Masai Watanabe defeats Naomi Kato 6 minutes. This was not good. It was rookie stuff. Yoko Takahashi defeats Yoshiko Tamura 9.5 minutes. Rookie-ass match, but Tamura, I thought, looked quite good. Kind of shocked she lost here when she was clearly... Look, she's a looker at this point in time. She doesn't got the badass biker denim chick thing going on and the sunglasses. And she's not jacking forearms in people's faces, but she's way more athletic. She's bridging a lot more. She looked good, and yet she took the L. Watanabe and Hota defeat Asari and Suzuka Minami 12 minutes. Observer actually gave this 3.25. I wouldn't go that high. It was like a 2.5 for me. Nice little average match. Hota, I think she lost. She had a good 1994. I thought Yumiko Hota had a very good 1994. We're now 2 months into 1995, and she's kind of back to her usual. She stands on the apron a lot, and her idea of coming in and throwing some kicks doesn't do a whole lot for me. And she loves to big league people, and she's not big league in Suzuka Minami all that easily. But Minami and Tomoko Watanabe was my favorite part. Asari just got bodied. People just do not like selling for this woman. It's up to Asari to try to get over hitting the Sky Twister press and the Mudo cartwheel and that kind of thing. They don't give her much, and having Tomoko, big Tomoko, coming in here with a lariat and pinning Asari pretty much clean, 1-2-3, clean, easy, didn't do much for me either. So Jaguar Yokota comes back, and she faces Rita Mata. I'm a big Rita Mata rookie fan. I like what she brings. They had a nice little 12-minute match. Yokota did some selling. Gave her much more than a Yumiko Hota match would. But ultimately, Yokota stretched this woman, and this is what I'm talking about. When it comes to like Lioness Asuka, Chigusa Nagayo, I mentioned it on the LOPW reviews, many of the LOPW roster, the 80s style just isn't it anymore. Now, Yokota still has good athleticism with the kick-ups and putting Lucha Libre moves in her showcases, but she's still very much grounded. And that 80s style, I think, is outdated at this point in time for what AJW has done over the last 5 years. Since the Chigusa retirement, and with Bull Nakano and Hokuto really carrying the company on their backs the way they did. Look, it was a fine match. I'm not going like 3.5 or 3 stars on or anything. It's a nice little 2.5, 2-star match deal. I can't say it's like great, but I'd like to see a little bit more out of Yokota. I'd like to see her get some new gear. Even the gear is very 1980s. And Rita Mata looks like she had a rough time in this. She was very upset with her loss. Jaguar Yokota kind of pats her on the head and does all that. And then we get the post-match. Yokota, Asuka, and Bison Kimura pretty much are taken off with what the Gaia idea was. And for those that forget, when Gaia was starting, Chigusa Nagayo starting this thing, it was supposed to be just a small group of invaders coming in to feud with AJW, And as soon as Chigusa made it very well known and clear that, no, she's starting her own thing, the Matsunagas just punked her off hard and said, you're a woman. What can you do? You're going to fail. You can't run a wrestling business. And obviously, Chigusa, with a 10-year advertising deal, found no problem in doing that. And modestly successful, right? So here, we've now moved on to a Jaguar Yokota group. We know they end up starting JD Star, but currently, and it's not going to be for a little while, but currently, they're doing a faction of these three. And I'm very happy to see Bison back. I'm happy to see Jaguar back. Lioness Asuka, she's not doing much for me. Anyways. Jungle Jack, Kumiko Maekawa, and Manami Toyota, they have an 18-minute match, all building towards Manami Aja Kong. This is where it really starts. Ito stinks. She's gaining weight. You can see it each and every show now. And Kumiko Maekawa, she's not quite over yet. Not to really any extent that it matters. And it was all about Manami Toyota saving the match as both Kong and Ito kind of pummeled Maekawa to the mat. Was Manami Toyota still flying around the ring, doing drop kicks, doing it? Yes. Was Aja Kong being a badass, throwing Urkins? Yes. Was Kaori Ito doing hip attacks and stomps? Well, what else is new? Meltzer went 4.25. I think that's way too much for this match. It's not that great. 3.25? And then we got a main event that was really a Jekyll and Hyde type thing. When LCO was involved, Mita and Shimoda, and they're doing their tag maneuvers against Double Inoue, that was hot. When it came to the rest of the match, especially at the beginning where it was a lot of tag in, tag out, 1980s heat, building something up, someone comes in hot, back and forth, it was lacking the energy and urgency to what I want to see out of a match like this. Yoshida and I thought Toshi Yamada, excuse me, I thought Yamada looked like yesterday's news. She's not developing. I think it's very clear that we've kind of seen the last of a Yamada push in any sort of capacity. They're very much focused on Aja Kong and Manami Toyota and the Double Inoue. So with Mariko Yoshida kind of still in rookie mode, I thought when it was Double Inoue against LCO, it was a good match. When it was Yoshida and Yamada mixing it up, whomever it was against, I thought it brought down the match significantly, along with the extremely slow first 9 minutes of the match, right? It was just under an 18-minute match. The finish was hot. I really like that Double Inoue gets the win, as they should, because they're the ones that relinquished the tag titles. They still need to be booked strong. So at least in that case, it was good. So yeah, we already looked ahead to what's coming up in the classics. I thought this show was kind of very skippable. If you got time for the house show, you can. But nothing to go out of your way and see. But we are on the road to Kong and Toyota, along with the tag tournament that's happening. This was All Japan Women Destiny. Don't forget to check out the free Joshi 2010s episodes that come out on delay. And if you like that, support the Patreon, in which you can get access to the Google Drive, which is ease for access to get all these shows that are reviewed. No one's covering Joshi wrestling history in this podcasting realm quite like I am. Thank you for listening. We move on.